morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. A couple of announcements today. We've got the fall concert featuring yours truly this afternoon, all are welcome. We'll be taking a free will offering towards the Family Support Fund. Please join us for that at 3:30. And there will be a Zoom link, it won't be recorded because we want to avoid copyright issues with the music that I'm using. So while we can offer a live stream, we can't offer a recording of it. So come and see it if you want to see it. And there's refreshments and such afterwards. So join us for that. I know that Alana has a few announcements.
It was three last service, but it's down to two. I do have, my office hours are going to change this week. I'll be there Monday through Thursday this week. I'll be out of town at some concerts. And then also I do have a spot open on December 21st for coffee hour. I know it is Christmas week. If we can't have anybody or nobody can do it, someone could just maybe bring donuts or make sure the coffee is going on that day. Let me know if you're available. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, then let's share the peace of Christ with one. It feels like every big problem left in the world is intractable, stubbornly hard to take care of. If it could be solved easily, it would have been solved by now. Like those disciples, we are inclined to look at the problems in front of us and say, I don't know how to fix this, it's impossible. But we are children of a creative God. The very first act in the story of God is the creation of an earth that includes palm trees and sea anemones, giraffes and armadillos, all from nothing. How is this God likely to work in the world today? We have the capacity to be creative because God is creative. Look at creation, at diversity. We are made in God's image, in God's likeness. We have everything we need to make change. We have enough. We just need to stretch our imaginations and break out of constrained thinking.
Please stand for the call to worship.
The world needs to change a lot. There are so many things that need change, and we can get overwhelmed, especially if we think that we need to make all of the change by ourselves. We need to remember that God is already at work. God has been and always will be doing a new thing. We are called to show up and cooperate with what God is doing. We are the change makers, and we are being made ready. May we be changed by this time of worship. Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy One, help us to understand what you are doing in the gospel. Help us to understand the ways that we can show up and cooperate with your Spirit. May this story show us the way to become a compassion-driven change maker like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The opening hymn is number 644, God Who Stretched the Spangled Heavens, verses 1, 2, and 4.
You may be seated. Now comes the time for any young worshipers here with us today to join Becky and I up on the steps.
Come on up. You're going to come up, right? Come on. Torin, you're going to come by me? All right, come on up. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all.
We're going to start a new thing this morning. We're going to talk about the early church, and we're going to talk about teamwork. I see you got a Waupun team. Is that your soccer team?
That's baseball.
Your baseball.
Right.
All right, baseball team. So I got to teach you something real quick. We're going to say, on God's team, life is better. Okay, so I want you to copy me. Can you copy me? On God's team, life is better.
Life is better.
So two thumbs up. So we point to God. We point up to heaven for God. And we put two thumbs up. Like, because life is better. Ready?
Congregation, you can do this too.
All right.
On God's team, life is better.
Let's do that one more time. Ready?
On God's team, life is better.
All right. So we're going to talk about the first church. the very first church. How do you think the first church got started? Way long ago. Anybody have any ideas how the very first church got started? I know.
They did a lot of fun things.
Yeah. They did a lot of fun things. Yeah.
They did a lot of fun things. And when they did fun things, people wanted to be on that team, right? So the first church, a long, long time ago, started with Jesus talking to the people. He would talk to them about being respectful, about being kind, and Jesus told all the people about God. And these people listened, and they're like, I want to be on that team. I want to be on that team, because it sounded like a really good team to be on.
Yeah.
And Jesus used his close friends. What were they called again? What were Jesus' close friends called? I bet you guys know. There were 12 of them. What were they called?
It's a word that starts with a D.
Starts with a D. Can you think of it? We talked about it last week. Do you remember the word disciples? The 12 disciples? That's what they were called. Yeah. And the disciples helped Jesus spread the word of God. And the disciples, they would like split up and they talked about all these people. And every time they talked to a bunch of people, all these bunch of people wanted to join the team. That's pretty cool. So that's kind of how the first church got started. So every day, Jesus and his disciples passed the word about God onto the people, and more people joined God's team. And that's the story of how the first church got started. Because, we're going to do it again, because
on God's team, life is better.
Pastor Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for helping us,
know
that on your team,
life is better.
Help us
make better lives
for other people.
Help us show love.
Help us show respect.
And
help us
share your love
wherever we go. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Our scripture today is from Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. After he entered the Pharisee's home, he took his place at the table. Meanwhile, a woman from the city, a sinner, discovered that Jesus was dining in the Pharisee's house. She brought perfumed oil in a vase made of alabaster. Standing behind him at his feet and crying, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the oil on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw what was happening, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner." Jesus replied, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher, speak," he said. A certain lender had two debtors. One owed enough money to pay 500 people for a day's work. The other owed enough money for 50. When they couldn't pay, the lender forgave the debts of them both. "Which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled." Jesus said, "You have judged correctly." Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your home, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has poured perfumed oil on my feet. This is why I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven. So she has shown great love. The one who is forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other table guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this person that even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. Friends, let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this week, Marcia McPhee, who wrote our worship series, discusses Jesus' creativity and how we can use it to be change makers. You may have noticed that that this is a bit of a stretch, this scripture, but I promise you, it does work, so stay with me here. One of the best things about serving this congregation is knowing that the spirit of creativity is alive and well in this church and in our ministry. We were the first, for example, to come up with the idea of a media service, for example. One of my former pastors in the church in Neenah, Reverend Lynn Spencer Smith, came here while she was serving a church in Iowa for some continuing education because Mike Bausch was talking to pastors around the country about the media service and what you all had figured out. And Lynn told me that was kind of in an era where not a whole lot of churches had embraced using screens and using video and using that sort of thing to aid in the worship experience. So this church was truly a trailblazer in that era. Now, Lynn was one of the first people that I reached out to on the phone to share the news that I had accepted a call with you. And immediately, she asked, "Isn't that the church that does the media service?" So the fact that this sort of innovative ministry was remembered by a pastor from Iowa over 20 years earlier, 20 years later, is quite a story. And you can be proud of that. And when I was called to serve you, and we were talking over my call agreement, there were lots of ways that the search committee and the council were willing to be very helpful in making my office space accessible, making various other places in the church accessible for me. And yes, I mean, in some ways you could make the argument that that was just basic human compassion, right? But the fact that you were willing to see opportunities where other churches might see barriers is creative thinking, and I felt genuinely seen and heard and respected as I came to serve you for that and many other reasons. So those are just two little vignettes of how you've shown your creativity. And I think that we're going to need that spirit of creativity in the future, right? Because The church of 50 years ago, the ways that we've done church over the last decades, just might not be as relevant anymore as what it used to be if we are trying to give young families what they need, if we're trying to reach out to other populations. We might need to reach out beyond this building, right? So today, I'm going to highlight how Jesus reminds us to be creative, both in how we practice Christian faith and who we invite into that practice. So, first, let's set the scene. This story begins in various. This story appears in various ways in all four of the Gospels, but Luke's Gospel is the only one that includes the detail of Jesus being welcomed for dinner at a Pharisee's house. Remember, Pharisees were not necessarily Jesus' best allies in his ministry. I realize I'm saying that with a broad brush. There were some Pharisees that were very much followers of Jesus, but you know it wasn't the norm, I would say. Now not only has he been invited to this Pharisee's house for dinner, all of a sudden this random woman is at this dinner party, uninvited, and nobody knows why she's there. We never find out her name or what she was doing or what her. We know what her objective was, but we don't know how she found out that this party was going on or anything. She doesn't even get to speak, but all of a sudden, she is throwing herself at Jesus' presence, kissing his feet, and wiping them with her hair. Ew. Right? So naturally, Simon the Pharisee sees what's happening. You can't unsee it. Even though she never speaks, her presence commands attention because of the faith that she so evidently has for Jesus, right? Might seem gross to us, but it's a radical way of showing discipleship. The teachings and reality of Jesus are so compelling to her that she feels that she must respond in the only way she knows how. Now, one little piece of exegesis here. Some people think that this woman is a prostitute. Some commentaries that I read this week do not think that she's a prostitute, but instead just a woman from the city. We're not necessarily told anything about her background. In that sense, but clearly, the Pharisee doesn't understand the nuance that this woman, whoever she is, whatever her background is showing discipleship. The commentator Michelle Beth Dinkler reminds readers in her Working Preacher commentary that this is also the only Gospel telling of this story where the Pharisee objects to himself about what's going on. He doesn't say anything aloud. He doesn't tell the woman to stop. He doesn't do any of that. He only says something to himself that feels like it could be a little bit of a scoff. If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. And that she is a sinner, right? Even just think of that language for a minute. What kind of woman? You know, he has all sorts of suppositions about who this person might be. And yet, Jesus flips the script. But before I get to that, I'll pause and say, I'll pause and note what Gerald C. Liu reminds us in his own commentary. He says, quote, "Fast forwarding from Luke to thinking about worship inside churches today, how often are we also quick to judge what kinds of people belong in the house of God and how they should act? Whom do we picture as the ideal worshiper of Christ?" Unquote. To put it another way, I start worship every Sunday here by saying, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And yes, on one hand, that is a nice UCC slogan, right? You'll hear it in a lot of UCC churches wherever you go in the country. It's to really put it into practice, we have to realize that this is not just a nice idea, right? There is an inescapable reality that Jesus continues to flip the script of who is welcome and who belongs in the deep embrace of God's grace and love. And Jesus reminds us over and over and over again that God loves people who we don't understand, and people who estimation, don't live a Christ-like lifestyle. So when I talked to our confirmation candidates during this week's class about what stands out to them about, we talked about what we believe as both as individuals and in this church. And I talked about some of the things that this church believes, and what stood out to them was the fact that everybody is welcome. You know, that was the first thing that pretty much everyone said. And so I want to tell you loud and clear that today's youth want to be in a church where everybody is welcome, regardless of race or socioeconomic status or disability or gender identity or sexual orientation or any other system, right, which the institutional church has often used to put people in a box. You know, so while us adults might have some questions about some of that stuff because of the way we grew up and the way we were raised, that is the kind of church that today's youth want to be in. And I think Jesus knows this too. Before the Pharisee can even voice his own thoughts, he says, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Because somehow Jesus already knows what's in Simon's heart. It's kind of like this weird telepathy thing. I don't know how much I want to go down that rabbit hole, but Jesus continues by telling a parable, which I won't get into real deeply, but the moral of that parable is all about forgiveness and mercy. He then brings it back together by saying, as the message paraphrases it, "I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting. But from the time I arrived, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. And so yet here again, Jesus shows us that he is the master of creativity, of thinking outside the box. Being creative as to who he believes is welcome in the embrace of God's love. And that's who he's always been. He regularly ate with outcasts and challenged the powerful and even prayed for God to forgive the people who were torturing him at the end of his life. And think about that. And he calls for us to be creative thinkers in our own ways. So just as this congregation has shown creativity with the media service and the enthusiastic calling of your first visibly disabled pastor, we can also continue to show creativity in the ways that we think about what we do in the future, in the ways we worship, in the ways we're out in the community. And there are so many ways to do amazing ministry around here if we open ourselves to those creative possibilities. And there are so many ways that we can help flip the script for people who have been hurt by the church, perhaps. People who come from another church wondering what we believe and what we stand for, right? So there are so many ways that all of you have what it takes to be co-creators of the joy and the hope that this world needs. So may you go into this week looking for those opportunities. May you go into this week with hearts of creativity that work for justice. May it be so. Amen. Our next hymn is number 466. This is Take My Life and Let It Be. You may rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. You may be seated. Now comes the time for more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's take a few moments of silence to remember those folks.
Amen.
I have a few prayer requests, and then we'll go around and solicit yours. So Chrissy Whitehouse asks for prayers for her son Colson. He will be having cataract surgery tomorrow. The idea of a teenager having cataract surgery is very foreign to me, but apparently he was born with it, and he is so excited that he'll be able to see clearly for the first time in his life. So for Colson, God in your mercy. And then, of course, continuing prayers for several folks, Paul Hertel, as he continues his recovery, Paul and Laura Reynolds, as Paul has been in and out of the hospital several times in the last few weeks, Kathy Vanderbush, as she deals with chemo and all of that, and for her husband Brian, for all of those folks, God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring this morning? Rick has one. Alana's coming with the microphone.
Thanks, Alana. We're just really grateful to be home. Had a safe trip to Canada. Wonderful time with our kids and our granddaughters. It was an interesting experience with the things going on between Canada and the USA. We actually had an elderly gentleman at a rest stop come up and knock on our window and wanted to make sure the people of Ontario were treating us properly. And we had just a really nice conversation with this guy. Wow. So we had a great time. We're glad to be home.
Wow. And no stolen or carjacking or...
No issues
at the... Good. So for safe travels and a good visit for Rick and Lori, and also for good connections that can span ideological divides. God in your mercy. Anything else today? We're happy to see Eliza Newman from the home from college for the weekend. Glad that they are enjoying the first few weeks of college. God in your mercy. If there's nothing else, anything on Zoom? Okay. If there's nothing else, let us join together in a time of prayer. God, who showed us how to be creative, you give us so many opportunities to show ourselves and the community what creativity looks like in a church. We give you thanks for the many ways that we manifest that creativity. The amazing work that our missions committee does, the amazing work that all our committees do to provide for the worship and community life of this church, and the ways we work out in the world. I am grateful to serve a church with as many creative and loving people as what this church is. And yet we know that our creativity also requires our care, because there are many needs in the world, people who experience homelessness, poverty, food insecurity, discrimination in all of its forms, for the environment, birds and animals who don't have a home because of human consumption and human greed, plants and vegetation that are in danger because of global warming, habitats that are in danger because the ice caps are melting. All of these ways, O God, require us to be creative, that the world that you have created and given to us does not fall away because of our carelessness. So we ask humbly for your guidance to flip the script, to continue to learn, to be more mindful of those around us, to work for creative solutions, that we may truly live in a world that aligns with your will. We pray this in the name of your Son, who taught us to be creative and so taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give as the ushers come around with the offering plate. You may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you give with creative hearts and creative spirits, knowing that the gifts you give benefit not only this community of faith, but the church universal. Dedication. Creative and creating God, with these gifts we return to you. Help us work together with you to provide much needed hope and change to a hurting world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 577, Sing a New Church into Being.
Thank you.
Friends, now go into the world risking something big for something good. Know that your creativity is a gift from God and an inherent trait with the power to unlock solutions and change the world. And know that your passion will emerge from the nest when the time is right and fly. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.